Happy Sunday, you guys. I need your help. We have one more week left on the South by Southwest panel picker, and I need you guys to go over and vote for my proposal. Could you be the second Fortune 500 Black woman CEO? This will be a live podcast episode of the Trill MBA show. I'm hoping to have some very special high executive level Black women guests, including Ursula Burns. Now, I have not confirmed her, but I am damn sure gonna try my hardest. So go on over to panelpicker.sxsw.com/vote/101811. That is the exact URL for my proposal. So go on over and vote. And if you vote, email me and let me know you voted. I'm gonna put your name in the hat for a very special prize. Thank you for your support, and let's start the show. Welcome to the Trill MBA Show. I'm your host, Felicia Ann Rose Anuha, aka the Trillest MBA you will ever know. And I'm here to help you survive and thrive in corporate America by giving you the truth and being as real as only I can be. Happy Sunday, everybody. I'm so excited because I got a special guest on the show, but okay, I'm calm down. So, you know, it's that time of year again. Diversity recruiting. It's that time of the year where all these companies go to all these conferences and they want to look for people like you. Yes, you too can have a job. It's like Oprah saying, you get a job. Yeah, you. So listen, while there are a number of organizations that have conferences centered around professional development and a career fair, for MBAs, there is one huge conference that is most known to us. And that is the National Black MBA Association Conference and Exposition. And y'all know exposition is just a fancy ass word for career fair, because it's just a big ass career fair. So last season, season 2, episode 11, I gave you the rundown on what the organization is, my personal experiences with the conference, and baseline what you need to do to prepare if you are going to this conference and going to take advantage of the career fair. Now, today, I want to expound on that a bit.
What?
And I have a very special guest, and we are going to get into what you should do to prepare for the conference this year, which is in Houston, Texas. Yeah, I know I'm a Texas girl. I'm always going to represent. I don't care how crazy Texas is, I'm going to represent. Now, let me tell y'all about my friend. Her name is Charisse J. Williams. First of all, Charisse is a badass, and I think deep down she owns it, but her very beautiful and humble spirit won't let her own it. Like, I want to see her own it, but that's on me. I'm not going to put that on her. But let me tell y'all about Charisse. She is a strategic, consumer-centric marketing leader with award-winning ability to increase consumer engagement and build brand relevance across various categories, industries, and Fortune 500 companies, y'all. These companies include Target, Pizza Hut, and Botox Cosmetics. Oh, girl, we got to talk about that. I might need a little. Anyway, listen, y'all. Currently, she is the senior brand manager of tequilas, cognac, and multicultural for Beam Suntory. Yes, my girl turns up for work. She holds an MBA from the University of Miami School of Business, and a BS from the University of Michigan, go blue. I got so many of y'all I love. And sits currently as the president of the National Black MBA Association, Dallas-Fort Worth chapter. Now, what she won't want me to do, but I'm gonna do anyway, is I'm gonna brag on her for a minute because she is a boss. This woman has taken this organization from a little less than 400 members to over 1,000 members, y'all. She is doing amazing things, focused on the mission of being an organization focused on facilitating connections and growth opportunities between DFW African-American professionals, Fortune 500 companies, and the community. And she is a fierce, beautifully, wonderfully made human being. I love her to death. Charisse, thank you for coming on the show. Because I know this ain't your MO.
You know it's not. And I always appreciate you for hyping me up.
Whatever. I just tell the truth.
Sunday,
I appreciate the truth, y'all. I'm telling y'all, I cannot wait for the world to know who Charisse J. Williams is. That's all I'm saying. But Charisse, now you are super polished and super professional, but you're also from Detroit. So now before we jump into giving the people the real about the National Black NBA Conference, I need you to promise me that you're going to keep it 100% trill from your deep Detroit spirit soul.
You know, first of all, we need to stop talking about Detroit like it's some special place.
It is a special place.
But yes, I promise to keep it trill, Felicia.
Thank you. Y'all, Charisse think I'm crazy, but y'all know I'm crazy, so it's all good. So first, we're going to talk about our first National Blacks. And so, Charisse, do you remember your first National Black NBA conference?
I do.
Where was it?
It was in Atlanta.
Oh.
I was entering or just starting my first year in MBA school, University of Miami. And I honestly had no clue what I was walking into because, you know, the conference starts, it's in September. Usually your curriculum starts in August. So just, you know, getting adjusted into Miami. And then I heard about this conference in Atlanta. And I think I may have drove, girl. I really don't remember that. But yes. 2006. I do remember it.
Oh, wow. You've been riding with National Black for a long time.
A minute.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
Because your first conference, it tends to wake you up to like, oh, snap. I didn't even know it was folks doing all this. Like, where all these people come from?
Right.
Why didn't I know about y'all before?
And I think, you know, and I know we'll get into this a little bit, but I truly was new to the organization. Despite, you know, being from Detroit, the organization, the first conference actually started in Detroit many years ago, 41 years ago, to be exact. So despite that, I had no clue about the organization. And so I would say for... And again, just giving a little bit of guidance as we go through, get to a conference, get exposed to your chapters as soon as possible. They will help set you up for success when you need it. And I was in a spot where, you know, I was looking for an internship and I had no clue what I was walking into.
So were you prepared for interviewing though?
Absolutely not.
Oh, man.
Absolutely not.
You just didn't know.
I did not know, you know, and it is not to say that, you know, I didn't have a good resume. I think it was pretty decent. But I just, kind of what you're doing today, Felicia, is just arming people with how you should approach the conference. And don't just walk in and just think things are going to come your way. Mm-hmm. And I certainly wasn't naive to think that that was going to happen. I just also had no understanding of even what I was walking into. What I heard, and I went to the University of Miami, so I had a very diverse population of classmates. So, you know, we had Asian, we had Hispanic, we had Caucasian, and about three Black folks, to be exact. but I say that because not only was I introduced to the National Black NBA Association, I was also introduced to NSHMBA, or now Hispanica, mm-hmm. which is the Hispanic counterpart. And then the women's MBA conference, which are all within about 4 to 6 weeks of each other.
Mm-hmm.
So all I knew was, hey, to get an internship, you need to go to all three. And I did exactly that. Yeah. So we can not to go too deep on a
expensive. No, that we need to talk. This is see God works. Cause somebody's gonna hear this and they thinking they gotta go to all three and you're a student. So like in hindsight, what did you learn from that?
Well, here's the thing. You know, there's the same corporation at each one, right? And what I didn't know for sure was that there were more than Black people going to the Black MBA conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they talked about the Neshimba conference, which I want to say that one was a little bit closer to home that year. It might have been in Orlando, and I say closer to home, Miami. But either way, it made sense. And my school offered a stipend to go to them.
Okay.
So that was helpful, right? So it wasn't like, hey, Sheree, can you go pay out of pocket as a student? It was, hey, we want to get you guys exposure. And to be honest with you, Felicia, the reason why, and this again, go back to 2006, we actually were on the brink of a recession. No one really knew for sure, except for maybe my econ professor. I think what they were trying to do is say, hey, let's arm you with some of the tools because we really don't know who's going to come down here and recruit. So you go out there.
Right.
So I didn't look at it as anything outside of they were giving us tools. Now, did they truly set us up for success? Yeah. But should I be expecting them to, right? So there's that. So I would say, again, that year I went to the women's, and that was in Houston, and then the Black MBA. So I was on a prowl for what I did, an internship, but I was totally not set up for what I was to experience.
Well, did you at least land an internship?
No.
Out of all three?
You're laughing now, but it really wasn't that funny. 13 years ago.
Because we know what we know now. So.
No, I didn't.
Man.
I did not. But my situation was a little bit unique, too. I should say it's probably not that unique, but for me, it felt like it. I didn't take a lot of time in between undergrad and grad. Actually, only a year. So I was, you can kind of read between the lines there. So it was a little challenging. Now, I did work. Let's be clear. Like, I did have a job, but it was actually a job. It wasn't an internship. And it actually set me up for receiving an offer when I graduated.
Nice.
I just chose not to stay in Miami. But it wasn't one of those, you know, air quote internships at the P&G and the craft and all of that, which is would have been great, frankly. I was in marketing, looking for brand management. It would have been great.
Right.
But I ended up working for a local company, which I actually thought was probably, in some cases, more beneficial to my evolution as a marketer. And as someone who has a global mindset, I was in Miami working for a translations company, and I had a lot of exposure.
Good. And that's important. Here's the takeaway from that story I want people to get. Number one, there is an expectation of how you show up at these conferences. There's an expectation on how you interview at these conferences. And if you don't understand what that expectation is, and you just think, oh, I have an opportunity to go and schmooze and talk my way into an interview, that no, boo, that's not how this works. And actually, the companies try to fill at least half to three-fourths of their interview slots before they even get to the conference. So before you make the investment to go to this conference, travel, hotel, the conference registration, before you do all that, make sure you understand exactly what you're getting into. Because if you don't, you're wasting your time and your money, and you're also wasting recruiters' time trying to talk to your ass, and you ain't ready. As a recruiter, I don't want to talk to you if you ain't ready.
Yeah, you know, I definitely agree with that. And I would say, you know, I have attended conferences since 2006. I've maybe missed maybe three from, 2006 mm-hmm. to now. And I actually did do it the right way, air quotes. 1 year, I went to the conference in 2011, I want to say it was, and had a couple of interviews, to your point, leading up to the conference. Mm-hmm. One was with Target, one was with another company, and ultimately, interviewed on site as well and walked away with a job. So while I didn't necessarily get that internship, back in 2006, through that experience and kind of learning what I should have been taught or what I should have exposed myself to earlier, learning that along the way, everything worked out just fine.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest lesson, right? Like, even if you quote unquote don't do things the right way, quote unquote, this right and wrong concept, whatever, you're still going to get to where you're supposed to be. You're still going to go where you're supposed to go. Whatever the universe has for you, you're going to get it. But I always tell people, getting information is the difference between driving on a smooth paved road and driving on gravel. So you're still going to get to your destination. It's just you might feel some kinks and pains along the way, according on what you're driving on. And so with that, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, Charisse is going to tell us about the conference this year. And I'm going to try to get her to tell us some like insider stuff because she on the inside. So we're going to be right back after this break. Hey, girl. So listen, I am always trying to figure out how to bring y'all more stuff. So I create freebies for you guys, and they'll be coming at least twice a month. If you want them, you have to go to my website and sign up for them. That's the only way you're going to get to them. But they are great PDF guides that break down things that we talk about on the show. So I take an episode that was content rich with very tactical tips and break that down in bullet points in a simple PDF. And so I hope it's helpful for you and that you're not having to like scribble and take notes all the time. You can drive and listen to the show and enjoy all my Black ass shenanigans. But in addition to that, I recently was in contact with Pop Social. So let me tell you, I was going to cancel because IG is playing games with people who want to grow their Instagram following and increase their engagement with their audience through using services like Pop Social. So honestly, if I spend all my time trying to talk to y'all on Instagram, I can't create the dope content that I'm working to give you. So I need some help and I'm trying to get more people to learn about the show. So I said, hey, let me use Pop Social. But because Instagram is playing with their algorithms and all this stuff, it's getting harder for these services to really give value. Well, I had a chat over email with the owner and the CEO of Pop Social, Everett. He was really cool. And he wanted to offer you guys a special discount for using Pop Social. And I also decided to stick with him because he's making some major changes in the service so that he can get around all this Instagram stuff and help you build an engaging audience without paying a whole bunch of money every month to some marketing firm or what have you. So if you want to get a discount with Pop Social, you can go on popsocial.com, sign up for the service that you want, and put in Trill MBA in all caps. That's T-R-I-L-L-M-B-A in all caps, and you will get a discount. So thank you, Everett, for that. I always want to support Black businesses. I know it doesn't always go as we plan, but hey, we should allow ourselves the same grace to fall and fail forward as everybody else. Not saying that we're not going to operate in excellence, but saying like, yo, let's give ourselves just as much of a chance as we give some of these other people. Because real talk, I probably should have broke up with Wells Fargo years ago, but I'm still with them. They got all my money. Anyway, Let's get back to the show. And we are back. So, Charisse, you have been on both sides, right? Have you been a recruiter at the conference for one of your companies?
Not a part of the team, but definitely more of a passive recruiter, I would say.
That's fair. You've seen the workings. You know how it works from the other side of the table.
Absolutely.
And so we're going to give you a glimpse of what, from a recruiter's standpoint, what the conference is like, because we've both been on the other side working for the companies that come to the conference. And so we want to help you prep from that point of view. But first, I have a quick question for you, Charisse. How do you feel the conference has changed over the years?
Great question. Would love to have this dialogue here. I would say the conference has not changed that much, and that is part of the problem. Mm. I would say the format of the conference has remained pretty consistent. You know, it is Monday through Friday. Mm-hmm. Monday through Wednesday are more of those leadership workshops, whereas Thursday and Friday are really dedicated to those that are searching for their next career. And I think, again, I got a part of the organization in 2006. We're 13 years later, and I haven't seen a lot of deviation from it. But I know, as you mentioned, as an insider, I know that there are challenges that the organization faces overall, and largely with corporations thinking differently about how they attract diverse candidates. Mm-hmm. Again, I mentioned earlier in the segment that, you know, a lot of these corporations are going to other conferences, you know, the Hispanic MBA conference, the Women's MBA, and you name it. And so I think if, you know, with budgets being tight, there's opportunity to revolutionize the conference. And as an insider tip, it's going to change. I imagine it's going to change quite a bit in next year as they celebrate the 50th anniversary of the organization.
Right.
So I will say this, though. It has shifted from a demographic that attends. So, again, I went to the University of Miami, and I went to the conference with a couple of my, you know, Hispanic and Asian counterparts in my cohort. And so I knew that it was going to be a diverse conference, right?
Right.
Many people will be surprised to know that the makeup of the conference attendees, and we should expect around, you know, 12,000, maybe as high as 15,000 this year in Houston. Many would be surprised to know that only 50% are African American.
I mean, I'm not surprised, but yes, the audience will be.
Well, yeah, you're not surprised because you've had exposure. But right. Again, for those that have had not, so you, it's not as if you're walking into this like, hey, you know, all African-Americans join up. We all about to get jobs.
No.
The real world, which means that more and more people, because it is a phenomenon, it has been a great conference, right, mm-hmm. over the years in exposition, which means that other people are saying, I want in on that. Oh, and my school is going to sponsor me to go?
Right.
I mean, we've seen busloads of universities.
Brigham Young, I'm going to call it out. Brigham Young, the first year they came with one bus. Then the next year they came with like two buses. I was like...
I mean...
They have made this a strategy for their students.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And so I think there's a lot that we can learn from that, right? Because I'm not hating. I just think that we have to think big picture, even about the conferences that we attend. So I say all that to say, I have just seen this evolution of more and more diverse candidates, less and less, you know, I wouldn't even say solely African-American, but it used to be a higher percentage than 50.
Yeah.
So that has evolved over the years. And to be honest with you, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, we talk about this from a leadership standpoint in our headquarters. It's at the end of the day, to have diversity and senior level positions, you need advocates, right? So how can we get these diverse candidates that are coming, whether they're Asian, Caucasian, Hispanic, you know, they're getting jobs on the conference floor,
yeah,
you know, but how do we recruit them into being advocates of the organization, advocates of having diverse colleagues in their corporations. And so just kind of pivoting how we think about it versus it, oh my God, it came in and took our conference. I'm like, no. They were being strategic and we did too.
And being prepared, because how many times have you heard the story? You meet somebody and they say, yeah, you know, my homeboy, I'm getting my MBA at the University of Houston. And then I didn't really know about this organization, but my homeboy told me I needed to come. So since it was right here in Houston, I just thought I'd show up.
Right.
Child. And I'd be so mad because right after him walks up this dude from Brigham Young. Hi, my name's Bob, and I am a first year at Brigham Young, and I'm looking for your internship opportunities, and blah, 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 blah. And they know the song and dance, and I can't deny them if they have the right credentials. I can't say, but you're white.
Right.
Like, that's illegal. So I have to pass them along. And every time it would pain me because the dude that just walked up like, yo, sis, like, I'm trying to get an internship.
Yo, sis, like, I'm trying to get an internship.
No, I can't pass you along because you're not going to make me look bad in front of my colleagues because you don't know the rules of engagement. That's what you're not going to do.
Yeah, and you know, it reminds me of, you know, being from Detroit, predominantly African-American population there growing up. You know, we were so used to us, right? And we all gave each other a little bit of a pass, right? And again, I had a really nice, a tight circle of people that are doing great things. But there's still a little bit of leniency, right? So then when I go to the University of Michigan, I'm like, Okay. You know, so I think about that from a conference standpoint, and I think some people, not all, but some people may assume, oh, it's the National Black MBA Conference. You know, let me show up with my pink hair, you know, or I can show up with my
long nails.
And because it's like, oh, they know me though. Like, they get us, you know, and we do, but you know, this is corporate America. And I think other people, again, if you haven't attended conference, understanding that the recruiters are not, majority aren't African American.
Right. The vast majority. Like,
the vast majority.
People you're interviewing with.
Yeah, yeah. Now, they, of course, try to recruit the Black folks at each company to say, hey, can you go to be the face?
Right.
You know, so I guess my point is don't get too comfortable. Just assuming that, oh, this is the National Black MBA, you know, there's leniency, they know us, we can, you know, be our authentic selves, and you can, but just understand while you are doing that, you know, our counterparts are showing up buttoned up.
Yep. And booted and suited and ready to go
and
got their car statements and can give me their elevator pitch and walk through their resume and highlight all the critical things in a concise and succinct manner. And here you are. Don't be that person. Okay.
Yeah.
That person.
I think look at it as, you know, we're all rooting for you. I mean, truly corporations that are attending truly want diverse talent.
Do they?
At the end of the day.
Okay, girl.
Okay. All right. Well, we can, I mean, we can pivot if you want to. I would say they understand the importance of it, even if it's from an optics.
See, right? Okay, that word right there. And that's what's killing me about all of the diversity organizations. So like, you know, I'm Consortium. If it had not been for Consortium, I would have been that Negro at National Black in D.C., because one of my classmates would have told me about it, and I would have just showed up not understanding what the protocol was had it not been for Consortium. Because Consortium is like a mini National Black Conference because they have a career fair. And so the career services prepared us for this career fair, and I mean intense preparation. And so because of that, I went to National Black. I killed it. But had it not been for that intense preparation 2-3 months prior, I would have been a hot, shitty mess.
Yeah.
Because I didn't know.
Yeah. And I think it's even, it comes down to, it's like the shock, right? You get on the floor and you see all these corporations and you have a map in front of you and you got to like figure out your game plan.
Right.
You know, and there's so much work you can do ahead of time.
Yes.
You know if you're willing to relocate and where you're willing to relocate to, right?
Right.
You can check out some of the company's websites and understand what type of roles they have available. And I know you get into all of this, Felicia, but you can do so much work ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
It still is an overwhelming process if it's your first one. But one of the tips I would just tell people, and this is as far as getting involved with local organization as well as the conference, don't wait until you need a job to get involved.
Amen.
You know, like, don't wait because, Lord, you just are going to feel so overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have knew about the organization, let's say, a year prior.
Yeah.
And just went, you know, just went, paid the lowest level ticket fee just to go check it out. You
right.
know, no pressure. Just, hey, I'm just here to observe and learn. And that way I can know how to tackle it for the years I really need it. That would be my biggest guidance because, you know, your first time, even if you're prepared, and Felicia, I'm sure you were so buttoned up, it probably still was a shock to just walk on that floor.
Oh, yeah. Because it's so much more bigger than Consortium OP. Consortium OP, you got 400 students. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is 10,000 plus, and a light year is like 12,000, and in a heavy year it's 15,000. Like, whew, I mean, and it's just people everywhere, and it's crazy. And that's the daytime, right? So the daytime is business, and then there's the nighttime. So when we get back from the break, we're going to talk about the do's and don'ts of managing the daytime and the nighttime of National Black MBA. We'll be right back. Hey, you guys, Felicia here, and I am so excited to announce that my course is open for registration. Yay! Win at Work Post-MBA. Set yourself up to win over your boss, gain sponsors, and fast-track your next promotion. So, of course, I know this MBA world, but some of you may not be MBAs, and that's okay. What I need you to do is go on over to trillmba.com/courses and schedule a registration call with me. Spots are extremely limited, so we don't have a lot of time. The course will start in August. So go on over, make your registration call. We'll connect and make sure that this course is exactly what you need to get on the fast track to your next promotion. So again, that's trillmba.com/courses and schedule your registration call today. Don't wait, because ain't going to be a lot of time. These spots are going to fill up quick. I've already gotten hundreds of emails from you guys saying that you wanted to be in this course. So I'm excited. I can't wait to see us thrive in corporate America. Yay! Okay, you guys, have a great Sunday, and let's get back to the show. All right, you guys, we are back, and I am with Sharice J. Williams, president of the National Black MBA Association Dallas-Fort Worth chapter, and marketer extraordinaire by day. And then she deal with all us Negroes up here in Dallas as president of the chapter. But she loves us, though. She loves us. She loves us. So let's talk about real quick for the daytime, just some practical things. So like my practical thing is don't wear high heel shoes, ladies. Get you some nice, comfortable, wedgy, flat, something very professional. Because underneath that thin piece-looking carpet is concrete. And you're going to be on your feet. And it is not smart. And it doesn't look smart if you're limping and tipping on faux foes around the conference.
Well, I will, let me just say this. Some people feel more put together with heels. It's like your stature, how you're standing, how, you know, how you're presenting. So here's my tip, you know, if you're that woman in particular who's like, I need my heels, especially in my suit, bring a pair of shoes with you.
Okay, so that's fair.
It is a lot of walking, right? But what I literally do is I keep a pair of flats mm-hmm. with me. And when I get too close to where I need to go, I hop in that bathroom, make sure, you know, nothing's in my teeth, you know, and I kind of just do a once over, throw my heels on and hit that floor.
Yep.
So that, but I have to wear several hats too. And I've had to wear several hats over the past a few years, but I guess that's my tip for those. I agree with you 100%. So it is a lot of walking mm-hmm. and the last thing you want is your toes to be falling off. And then you looking real crazy, right? Because you still got the night ahead of you.
Exactly.
But I would say this, typically, some years they give you a bag. And I guess the past couple of years, I think they've had to cut costs a bit. Mm-hmm. But have a nice little bag, you know, whether it's a book bag or whatever, laptop bag, and have some flats. Keep them in there. I think that you need it. You need flats. It's just a balance of what you feel most comfortable in, especially if you are interviewing.
See, she's so strategic. I was just like, don't wear heels. That because I'm so black and white. I'm like, don't do it. But that's for me because I don't even like wearing them things anyway. So I got big flat feet and I don't have time to be hurting 5 minutes after I put shoes on. It's just rude.
I would just say, just make sure your flats ain't raggedy, okay?
Yes, don't be raggedy about nothing.
Yeah. Make sure they're some nice, slick, black, or whatever color is your choosing. But I wouldn't say go like, well, you know what? I would say something. And this mm-hmm. may go back to our previous comment. Last year, this guy showed up in some Louis Vuitton, like, razzle-dazzle shoes. And I was like, Well, he will always be remembered.
Yeah. For the right thing.
For the right reason.
Did you have the right impact? What impact are you trying to make? And is what you have on going to help you do that?
Right. And maybe if it was a company that, you know, image was important, mm-hmm. more important than maybe your technical expertise, then that would fly. But I think he was in like the Microsoft line and I was like, I don't know this feels.
Yeah.
But you know, whatever. But anyway.
But that's why research is important. So tip number two, do your research, guys. And the thing is, I will be announcing, I'm going to do a Zoom prep call prior to NBA. I haven't announced the dates yet because I haven't decided yet. I just decided I'm going to do this as we're having this conversation, because I don't want y'all going to this conference looking crazy. Like, there's so many politics around this conference with companies. And every year the companies are like, should we go shit with blah, 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 blah. Can't get the talent. We look for blah, 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 blah. Right? And so you going up and showing up not prepared is just not helpful to any of us. And that's why I'm so passionate about the preparation.
Yeah.
Nothing suits me like a suit.
Because it's real preparation from what you wear. You gotta understand, when these companies evaluate you, they're looking at, do you fit? Will you fit? How will you fit? And so they're looking at how you speak, how you stand, your posture, what you have on, how your hair is done. And let's solve this right now, ladies. You can wear your natural hair. Just be neat about it, right? Like, pull it back in a bun, or, you know, if you have a ponytail, make it not one of them long Megan Thee Stallion ponytails. Like, you Megan Thee Stallion gets paid to be on stage and look like that. These companies aren't paying you for that. And that doesn't fit into their culture. Keep your nails at a shorter length. If you typically wear long nails, cut them things for this. You can go get tips after the conference.
And here's, you know, I know that you're being super prescriptive, Felicia, which I think is helpful for the audience to get some parameters. I think the biggest thing that I would recommend is don't let anything be a distraction.
Yes.
From them focusing on you.
Yes.
And your resume. That's it. Nothing else should be a distraction. And, you know, I challenge myself, you know, me, I wear a lot of funky glasses. Because that's how I incorporate my style. Mm-hmm. It also is how I cover the bags under my eyes. Oh. I have a 2-year-old. I'm multifunctional. But my point is, I typically, when I'm first trying to introduce myself to someone or in this type of environment, I leave the glasses at home.
Really?
I do. Because typically, they certainly draw attention, but sometimes they're very distracting, you know? And so I actually kind of, it depends on the scenario, right? But you'll see me, you know, usually my first time if I'm speaking somewhere or just introducing myself, I go without the glasses because mine are very big and bold. And I don't want anyone to be like, all they know is, oh, she had the cool glasses on.
Right.
So that's my bigger guidance is the nails. I would keep mine at a neutral color because you don't want it to be distracting. I really want people to focus on my face, me speaking to them, and the resume in front of them. Because understand, there's no doors in this this floor pad of the convention center or whatever that is held. Literally, it's people walking by, people cutting in front of you. You're trying to have a conversation and dialogue with the recruiter, and they are completely distracted by everyone behind you.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you just eliminate another distraction? So that's my take. Some people's take may be, well, ooh, I'm going to wear something real bright and shiny so that I can reel them in. And so teach your own. I think Felicia and I have learned along the way that there should just make it easy on yourself. You know, you don't want one person to be offended or not, I shouldn't say offended, but distracted.
Exactly.
You know, like you don't want to play that game.
Right.
You're trying to get a job, you know? So
I think it's a psychological thing for human beings, right? So if you can speak my vernacular, which you can pick up the company vernacular, if you look at a number of their job descriptions, they'll use their buzzwords. So if you can explain your experience in their vernacular, if you are not distracting in your style and dress and how you present yourself, it gives this sense of, oh, they get it. Oh, they're strong. They maybe could really fit in the company. And that's really the key of what people are looking for from a psychological standpoint, right? And we try to say, we try to make it fair and all this, but how many times have you heard somebody at a company who is endeared to another person at the company like, oh my God, you so remind me of me, or oh my God, you remind me of my son, or, you know, like that's a human thing, even though we know at the crux of that, because, you know, slavery, that racism and bias is in all that. But truly, there's also that human component of we like to feel comfortable around things that are familiar to us. And so knowing that, you should work to plan your strategy of how you're going to talk to these companies, how you're going to approach these companies.
And if I can just add to this, it's one thing if you are going to conference and you say, I have a short list of three companies, period, right? I know these companies. I know my style is going to win all of these companies. Go for it. But what we're not saying is you need to go to every company. You got to appeal to every company. You shouldn't. You should have a very short list of, you know, I would say your top three.
Yeah.
Go there.
No more than five. You ain't gonna have time. After five, you're dead.
But I guess the point is, you have to pick a style that's flexible across all of these companies.
Mm-hmm.
That is the key there. When you do your one-on-one interviews, when they invite you to the corporate office, if you want to show a little razzle-dazzle to show, hey, this is who I am, I recommend doing it. Because if they don't like the authentic you, then it's not meant for you.
Right.
But you're at a conference mm-hmm. where you have hundreds of companies, and you probably don't have a short list. You probably got 10, mm-hmm. and you got to find a style that is flexible to all of them. And I think that is why most people would recommend stay pretty neutral, the blacks, the grays, the navies.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do too much because you just never know. But again, if you are targeted and you know exactly what you want, I applaud you and lean into the style that works best for those three companies.
Amen. That's coming from a standpoint of view where we've screened resumes. We've talked to candidates. We've done the phone screens before conference. We've, been at booths. So understand, like, we've been here. We're trying to help you. And I know sometimes you can feel a certain way when you get that type of feedback. Like, I can't be myself how I want to show up with my Louis Vuitton shiny green leopard print shoes. I mean, you can. Like, there's no law against it. We just trying to tell you what we know.
Yeah. Get in the door first. Yeah. Get in the door and then change your hairstyle.
Exactly. But I will say, braids are fine. Like, I get a lot of people asking me, like, what about my hair? And I've had people straighten their hair. And you know what I learned? Look here. I fucked up my curl pattern straightening my hair for a job I didn't even get. And that's when I was like, no more. I love my little curls and I'm trying to grow my hair out and heat does not help. So no, I'm not going to bend on that. But am I going to get a super neat and not distracting style? Yes. That's what I'm going to do. Okay, so let's talk about the hotel and then we could move right into the night shenanigans.
Yeah. So my guidance is, again, it's a lot of walking. It's typically at a convention center. You're typically going to want to do some receptions and all of that fun stuff, which we may talk about next. Again, if you're going to wear a little bit of heel, I recommend it. If that makes you feel good about yourself, makes you stand stronger and feel more confident, make sure you stay close. Make sure you stay, like, literally you're in walking distance. Or a quick Uber away, because you don't want to be on the other side of town and some things are happening at the convention center. You want to be accessible. And so I always recommend staying at the host hotel.
Mm-hmm.
It's typically a Marriott. It's typically a Hilton. I understand there could be cheaper rates, but you got to understand the opportunity cost. If you're staying, I remember in Detroit, one of our members, and I'm from Detroit, right? So I have a pretty good understanding of geography there. And she said, well, I'm going to stay by the hotel. It's cheaper, like $100 cheaper. I'm like, okay, so you were willing to stay in traffic roughly an hour away from, why? It's not worth it.
Mm-mm.
It's not. It's like, what? No.
It's stressful.
Why would you say, it's stressful, right? Think about that strategy. I understand, especially if you're a student, full-time student, sometimes you ain't got the money, especially if you're going to stay for an extended amount of time at the conference. But that's where you pair up with some folks. Don't be afraid to do, a split a room. But just think about that, because where you stay absolutely factors into how much you get out of your whole experience.
Mm-hmm. Because there's so much that goes on in the lobby of the host hotels.
Yeah.
Because recruiters, they have their friends that come. So while you're at the career fair, there's a whole nother conference happening. And I didn't realize that until after I graduated. And I told my company that I wanted them to sponsor me to go for professional development. And I did the Leadership Institute, which was amazing. And it was in LA. I would never forget this. So it was like 2011, 2012. It was after I graduated. And so I got to go to LA for the week, which was great because the weather was great. And I did the Leadership Institute. I learned so many things. I came back and implemented some of those things, just trying to be a better leader. But it was eye-opening because every other time I had gone to the conference, I was on that career fair floor, you know, booted and suited, on a mission, will not leave business school without a job. Well, now I have a job and oh my God, there's all this professional development stuff. So even if you're not a student and you're listening to this and you're looking for a professional development opportunity and your company will sponsor you, the conference is a great place to go for networking, professional development, training, and opportunities. So I definitely recommend it. And I had a ball because either my friends were there recruiting with their companies or they were there for professional development. And so the thing is, when you get us all together, it's going to be a party. So, and the companies encourage the parties. In fact, there are companies who sponsor like really big parties that are free for people who have paid for registration. There are also other parties that peripherally happen that aren't necessarily conference sponsored or approved, but those parties are cool too. And so you have to look out for the info in your email and you got to stay connected. And the best way to do that is get connected with your local chapter.
I agree. But I would say, so echo your sentiment around the leadership. In fact, probably the last 4 or 5 years I've gone, I like exclusively only engage in some of those workshops. Mm-hmm. I also did a leadership and entrepreneurship institute. So those are back. They took a little bit of a hiatus the last couple of years, but those are back. A little bit more of a price point. But again, there's actually a document on mm-hmm. the website that you can download, send to your employer and say, hey, you believe in D&I? Well, guess what? Here's a conference that is going to propel me as a leader. You don't have to do anything besides send me and pay for it, obviously. So right. I definitely recommend that. And then, yes, the afterlife. And well, here's the thing. Okay. I always remember this. I want to say, I really don't know where it was. Indiana? Indianapolis?
Oh, that was a conference. 2012.
And, yeah, it was 2012.
Yes, I spoke at that conference.
Okay. Here's the thing. People, again, understand where you're at. Mm-hmm. Understand. Just don't ever forget. There are going to be some great parties, great kickbacks, receptions, all of that fun stuff. And that is truly to network. Let your hair down just a little bit. Here's the tip. Here is the tip. If you want to truly let loose, hold on to it until Friday.
Yes.
Because I have seen some things on a Thursday.
Yes.
Let me just flash back a little bit. T-Pain. T-Pain was on the stage. And so again, if you haven't attended a conference, it's always an interesting act. Last year was Bell Biv DeVoe.
Yep.
And even Dave Hollister came out of retirement. Right. Yeah, but whatever. So it was T-Pain, you know, it was an NBA live party and it was not Indianapolis. It was Orlando.
Oh, I didn't go to Orlando.
Okay. It's flashback because it was my south side. But long story short, this girl who actually was not African-American, just to give you some context, she hopped up on stage with T-Pain. Mm. And was getting low. Mm. And she had her badge on.
Oh.
And everyone remembered her.
Right.
To the point where everyone's looking for her on Friday, like, where's she at?
Right.
So sometimes you forget that you're in an environment that the recruiter could also be kicking back mm-hmm. at the party. They probably are, actually. They kicking back at the party, too.
We kicking back hard because we got jobs.
Yeah. And so, but at the same token, you're seeing some of those people that you just were interviewing earlier that day. you know. And so on one end, you can walk up to them. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. Kiki. And then you keep it moving.
Right.
You know, and they're like, okay, cool. I can see them in a, you know, a casual light. You know, there's no, again, everyone's trying to have a good time. So there's not a lot of judgment unless you just go do some dumb stuff.
Exactly.
And so that is why I say, hey, if you, you know, you don't get out much and you see T-Pain, that just makes you excited. but hey, he had bangers, but can you just hold off? You know, yes. Let that, do that on Friday. Not many people stay around for Friday. Or get that interview secured or get that job secured, maybe. And then go have a good time. So I think there's levels to the playing. There are rules to the party, and I should say, just be mindful.
Yes.
And so, I mean, I've seen people get low, and it's like, yeah, but it's just the occasion. So
yeah.
I don't know if you have anything to add to that.
Oh, I do. Because, you know, I'm very, that's the podcast is very tactical. See, I love Sharice because she's very strategic. So she's going to give you that high level. And then I'm going to do this double click. So let's talk about the real of the real. Ladies, number one. Many of these men are married, okay? And yes, they fine and they look good and you know they got a job because they interviewed you. But let's be very clear. Many of them are married and many of them take this as an opportunity to pretend like they're not married. And so I need you to be discerning of what you do with your kitty cat, and you probably should leave it in its crate. Make sense?
Oh, Felicia. Yeah.
It's the Trill NBA show.
I understand.
So, you know, I've seen a lot. And the other thing is, as recruiters, they talk. They do all kinds of talking. And I know a lot of people want to think that women are gossipy. Child, humans are gossipy. And so you got to understand that this environment is a part of you managing your perception. And you want to make sure that you're putting yourself in the best light at all times.
Agree. Because you're going to be challenged this way in your corporate job as well, right? There's going to be happy hours. There, you know, there's going to be a lot of things. And so it's a good tester, right? Hey, drinks are flowing. But you still are in an environment where you're looking to secure a network, secure a job, et cetera. So just being conscious of that. The other thing I would say is, again, the context of the whole conference, right? Typically, it's technically Monday through Friday, but most people show up Wednesday through Friday. Strategize out your week. So if you are truly going to look for a job, or build your network, do all of that on Thursday. Because let me tell you what, and I've been a part of this group, right? Where we partied, we had a great time. We, as some of the recruiters or the Black professionals, we have a nice group chat where we, the point I'm trying to make is, we all tired on Friday.
Yep.
We tired.
We don't want to talk to you.
We had a good time. I've seen some of my, good friends and buddies, like at the recruiting tables, eyes glossed over.
Yes.
They slump themselves. Yes. They just trying to make it through the day. Yes. You know, if we're keeping it 100% real, right? And so I think that, you know, being strategic about where you put a lot of your emphasis, Thursday is it. Thursday morning, to be exact. Everyone is fresh. When you start to trickle into Thursday afternoon, it's like, look, I mean, come on, hurry up. I got to go eat. I got to get ready for this party or reception.
Right.
And then Friday, and it's so crazy. I see some people so excited to walk into that conference floor on that Friday morning, 8 a.m. sharp. They ready.
And then people mad. Everybody that got that shift, that 8 o'clock shift on Friday are pissed.
So mad.
That worst shift.
If they make they make it. Because some of us don't make it. Like, just being 100%. Some of us are like, look, I got to call off.
Right. The HR will handle it.
So it's just, it's keeping everything in perspective. This truly should be a conference that you enjoy. It is a great opportunity to connect with, you know, African-American professionals. And so have the most, like, make the most of it. Have fun. Just understand the rules. This is what this podcast is for.
The rules of engagement. That's what I want you to understand. So, Sharice, before we get out of here, what do you hope your local members gain from attending the conference this year?
Well, you know, here at Dallas, we, Dallas Fort Worth, to be exact, we have around 900 to 1,000 members. You know, numbers been wonky a little bit lately, but I'm going to say 1,000 if you want to edit that. But we have 1,000 members, and, you know, we have spent so much time and investment in them and arming them for things for the conference, right? A lot of the local chapters, they put a lot of work in with professional development, seminars and symposiums, leadership to supporting you with your LinkedIn profiles. Like, every chapter has their own sort of programming, but for the most part, the programming all culminates at the conference. Mm-hmm. And it really is to set you up for success. And so it is my goal with our membership, especially being 3.5 hours away, to go down there and secure the bag.
Yes.
Secure the opportunities. And so we actually locally, and again, a lot of chapters are doing this, but we have a resource lab, if you will, on August 28th of this year that is going to arm them for conference like specifically, you know, and having people sit on a panel and talk about it. So Felicia would love if you attended that.
Yes.
And but we do a lot, essentially, just to make sure that you are prepared. And so it kind of full circle with our conversation. Get involved with the organization before the conference so that you have the tools, because the chapters have the insider tips and the exposure with the headquarters to ensure that you truly are set up for success. So I'm excited to see a lot of my members down there. You know, we showed up big in Detroit, at least around 50 of us.
Yep.
So I imagine we may double that with just a short drive away.
Yay. And then what are you hoping to gain from the conference this year? I mean, you've gone to so many, like, do you still get things out of the conference, or is this like, I go out of duty?
I really do. Someone asked me the other day, like, why are you the president? It's a volunteer, you're not getting paid. So it's kind of, I have a similar response. It's like, I am passionate about us winning in corporate America, or winning in our own, you know, entrepreneurship ventures. And so I will always support the amount of investment that this organization does for us. And thank God this year, I am not looking for a job. I am very content in my 9-to-5.
Hallelujah.
But I love to go for the leadership as well, Felicia. So I sign up. I am front row in a lot of those workshops trying to learn. And I set goals, which is what I would encourage anyone to do. Set goals for the conference. You know, whether that is, I want to meet 3 new people. I want to walk out with a mentor. I want to secure a job. I want to whatever, right? I also have goals. Of, you know, my time investment, because it's taking me away from my family, taking me away from my job. And so I want to ensure that I'm just not going just for chits and giggles. I do enjoy the parties, but I also go to try to get some professional leadership tips as well.
Awesome. Well, Sharice, thank you so much for coming out of your shyness, because Sharice is a little shy, y'all, even though she's photogenic as hell. She does not particularly care for the spotlight, but she shines so bright, you guys, as you can tell. And she really does care. And y'all know I only fucks with the real ones. So, Sharice, I will expect you to be back on the show to talk about career stuff in the future, because this was amazing. Thank you for all of your knowledge and sharing with us from the inside, like, how you need to think through preparing for this conference. So this was amazing, and I appreciate you. I will be harassing you as usual most weeks, because we are friends.
Yes, we are. And Felicia, thank you for inviting. I've been waiting for an invite for a while, and I thought you'd just been dissing me, but it's cool. But thank you for the invite, and thank you for always making me laugh and keeping it real. You got to love that about you. And hopefully all of your listeners love that about Felicia as well.
Well, I love everybody. So listen, you guys, if you need some help or advice about a specific situation at work, go to trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me to strategize and walk through your specific work situation. In addition, you can always email me at ask@trillmba.com. I love getting your emails and I always email back. I'm happy to either help answer your question or connect you to the right person if I don't have the answer. So like somebody like Cherise. Again, that's trillmba.com/coaching to schedule a free 30-minute consultation with me, or ask@trillmba.com to submit your question or concern. Until next time, you guys, get ready for National Black, prepare, plug into your local chapter, and keep it trill. The Trill MBA Show is a Fair World Corp. LLC production, executive produced by Felicia and Rose Inuha. Sound design and editing by Chris Mann with Podshaper. Theme music is Kick Push by Ryan Little. Keep it trill every day, y'all.